Okay, turn with me to Leviticus 12. We're going to be studying and talking about Tazriah. As I mentioned, it's sort of a special Shabbat, so there's extra readings. There is the reading from Exodus 12. There is the Haftarah, special Haftarah from Ezekiel 45 and 46. I'm going to be speaking about Tazriah itself, Leviticus 12, 1 through 13, 59. Now, of course, even if it's only two chapters, I still can't speak about all of it. So I wanted to hone in on one particular section today. Now, Tazriah is the title of the portion, and it literally is translated as she conceives. She conceives. And it's all about a woman giving birth. It's about labor and a woman who's giving birth to a child, whether that's a male child or a female child. So the Torah is very specific about this, about how a woman, when she has a child, when she goes through childbirth. Now, remember, in Genesis, God said, because of our sin, women would have pain in childbirth, right? And he said that, you know, we would till the ground and all that stuff back in the book of Genesis. Well, we're giving birth, having a child is a wonderful thing. We all know that. But it also can be a very painful thing. And even in today's world with epidurals and all these things, it's still an uncomfortable experience. It's still very difficult. And God talks about it thousands of years ago in his word. And this is what he says in Leviticus 12, 1 through 5. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as at the time of her menstruation she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying are completed. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying for 66 days. Now, it's notable that there's a difference of time between the man and the woman, between having a male and a female child. I'm not going to focus on that today, because in either event, having a boy or having a girl, there is a time when the woman is considered unclean, and there is a time of purification that has to ensue. Now, it's always fascinating when the Bible goes into details about things. And sometimes we say to ourselves, why does the Bible go into such detail about certain things? You know, there's a lot of fun things that we could go into a lot of detail about, and the Bible does. But then there's some strange things, like this chapter, and it's like God devotes a lot of time speaking about how a woman is considered unclean, and then there's a purification period. Why? Why this emphasis? Well, as with everything in the Torah, in the prophets, in the Brit Chadashah, in the entire Bible, there's teachings, there's concepts beyond the words, okay? We get so focused on the stories sometimes, and they're great stories. We get so focused on the ideas that we miss the concepts behind them. God is speaking to us, and he's saying things over and over and over again, and this is one of those examples. In fact, Tazriah itself is really one big theme that we're going to get to. More about that later. But here we have this situation where this Israeli woman gives birth. She's considered unclean for a period of time. And the idea of a woman separating herself because she's unclean is still practiced today in traditional Judaism. We don't realize that, but in Orthodox circles, ultra-Orthodox circles, there is a whole big thing about this. This is a big, big concept. And it's not just when giving birth. It's also when a woman has her monthly menstruation cycle. In Orthodox Judaism, this whole concept that we're talking about in religious Judaism, it's called nidah. Nidah, that's the terminology, which is translated literally as separation. Nidah means separation. And this is when an Orthodox woman, even today, has her period, has her menstruation period cycle, or when she has a child, she's considered unclean. Her husband cannot touch her. They have to sleep in separate areas. No one can touch her. She's considered unclean, much like any other concept in the Torah when someone is unclean. And this concept of separation is still practiced today. But this whole idea of being unclean and separating is part of a larger concept, though, within Tazriah and even the portion before Tazriah. Tazriah starts off in Exodus 12, but remember what happens, Leviticus 12, but remember what happens in Leviticus 11. The whole chapter is about what? Clean and unclean foods, right? What's kosher and what's not kosher as far as being clean and unclean. It's not a coincidence that clean and unclean foods is talking about there in 11. And then we get to the separation of Nidah. And then we get to Tazriah, where you have to separate yourself if you have a skin condition. The whole concept is when you're unclean, you have to separate yourself. There's a separation not only from people, but even more importantly, from God and his holy things, the tabernacle, later the temple. Women could not be touched by their husbands during Nidah. They couldn't be touched by other people, and they couldn't go near the tabernacle. She couldn't be it really in that area. She had to be separate. She had to be Nidah. In Jewish rabbinical law, the state of being unclean ritually for any reason is called tumah. And the state of becoming ritually clean is called tahara. These are two very, very important concepts in traditional Judaism. When you're ritually unclean, you cannot approach the tabernacle. And in essence, what does that mean? When you're ritually unclean, you can't approach God himself. Okay? That's the idea. Numbers chapter 19, verse 20. If the man who is unclean does not cleanse himself, that person shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, since he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Because the water for impurity has not been thrown on him, he is unclean. So again, Nidah, clean and unclean foods, Tzara'at, the concept is separation. The concept is you are unclean ritually, and there's a time period you have to wait. When you're unclean, when you're defiled, you are not able to be in the presence of the Lord. God has to separate himself from uncleanliness. And of course, being unclean is a metaphor for sin. Being unclean is a metaphor for sin. Now, we're not saying all these people sinned when the woman had her monthly cycle. I'm not saying that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the concept is being unclean is associated and it's a metaphor for sin. There's many verses in the Torah that equate the idea of being unclean with that being in a state of sin. Or that when you sin, you're unclean. There's a verse from the book of Zechariah. Turn with me to Zechariah. I know it's not easy to find. It's in the prophet section there. There's a verse from this book, and it's a prophetic book, of course, and it describes how God will in the future, this is prophecy, in the future, he will regather Israel. You know we're in a state of, we're in a state where Israel is somewhat unclean. The world is unclean. But there's going to be a time, prophetically, Zechariah speaks about, when God will regather Israel to himself. Because when you're unclean, when you're in a state of sin, you're separated from God. Zechariah is talking about regathering himself spiritually. And I want you to note the language that's used in this verse. Zechariah 13:1. On that day there should be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanliness. So don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. Sin and uncleanliness, separation, go hand in hand. God is trying to get us to see that through Tazriah, through this verse, this portion. And he's using these examples to bring it home. You know, when you use an example with somebody, it's important. But then when you use different examples, when you try to say things to people in a couple of different ways, whether it's parent to child or friend to friend, you're trying to explain something to someone. You say it in a couple of different ways in the hopes that they get it, right? Maybe they won't get it this way, so you say it this way. Maybe you use this example or this story. God is using all these stories and all these examples to get us to see this idea, this concept. And he's using this idea at the beginning of Tazriah about menstruation and childbirth. He uses foods. He uses skin diseases. These are all leading us to the real point, which is sin separates us from fellowship with God. Sin separates you and me from fellowship with God. We were created to have fellowship with God. We were created to worship Him. We were created to be continually in His presence. Now, have you ever felt lonely before? I know you all have. Have you ever felt depressed before? Have you ever felt like you're separated, whether it's from family members, friends, or even God? We were created to never feel that way. And in heaven, when we have eternal life with God, you and I will never feel the pain of separation again. Amen. That is the point. That is what God is getting us. He wants to bring us back to that. Because of sin, we can't have that right now. Because of sin, you and I have loneliness. Because of sin, there's disease and affliction and problems in this world, and you just name it, right? It's because of our separation from God. And you know what? We chose to separate ourselves from God, didn't we? We wanted to be like God. We wanted to be great like God. And we chose to, you know, I'm saying we, Adam and Eve, right, chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We wanted knowledge over relationship. You know, knowledge is great, but we need to have relationship over knowledge. Amen? We need to have a relationship with God over. Now, He'll give us wisdom and discernment and knowledge, but first comes the relationship. We got the order wrong back in the Garden of Eden. But God wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants to bring us back. But because of sin, we're cast out of His presence. Just like Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, you and I are, in some ways, cast out from that presence of God at times. And now hear what I'm saying. We're never cast away from the presence of God. But you may feel that. You may feel that depression. You may feel that anxiety, that fear. Those things are not from God. Those things are because of our separation. And God is setting up reminders for us, even back in the Torah, not to get upset, depressed about our separation from Him, but to see that being in that state of sin is not the ideal. It's not what we were created for. It's not what He has for us. Now, this brings us back to the Nidah discussion. Does the Torah teach that giving birth is wrong? He's using this example to show us sin and separation. Giving birth is wrong? Is it sinful? Absolutely not. Scripturally, children are actually a gift from God. Some days as parents, you may not feel like that. But it is. Some days God as a parent maybe doesn't feel like that. I don't know, with us. But children are actually a gift from God scripturally. Psalm 127:3. I don't want us to get the wrong impression here. The Torah is not saying that this is bad, right? Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. From the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. It is a blessing. It is a mitzvah to have children. And even more, God gives us the command to have children, to Adam and Eve. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. This is a command from God. He wants us to have children. He wants women to give birth to kids. So why does Adonai include this discussion about Nidah to bring home a concept about how when a woman gives birth, she's unclean? Well, there's a reason why. Leviticus 17:11, I always say this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but it's important for us to always go back to these central verses. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you, for you, on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. So we have this idea of the nidah, the separation, the menstruation, monthly menstruation cycle, or when a woman gives birth, and we have this idea of blood. How are we going to put all this together? Blood is a catalyst for atonement, according to the Bible, according to what we just read. Blood is a catalyst for atonement, but it's not any type of blood. The sacrifices done in the tabernacle, later the temple, were solely done, all those animal sacrifices, so that why? So that we could kill animals? No. So that the blood that was shed could atone for the sins of the people. Because we sinned, something had to die. Because you and I have sinned, back then, now, something has to die. When Adam and Eve first sinned, they were ashamed because why? They were naked. Remember that? That was what the scripture says. When they first sinned, they recognized it and they were ashamed. What did God do? He killed an animal. Something had to die. And he used the skin of the animal to clothe them. But more importantly, he killed the animal. The blood was shed. Okay? You had to bring your animals to the priest and they would be killed. And the blood was poured out to cleanse you from your sins. You had to bring the animal. There wasn't like this stable of all these animals. Okay, next one, come on out. Okay, you get this one. You had to bring your livestock. You had to bring something of value. You know, we don't have animals that we bring here, but when we bring our monetary sacrifices, we're doing essentially the same kind of thing. The concept is the same. You earn that money working, and now you're giving some of it back to the Lord. You're sacrificing some of it back, okay? The idea is you had to give something of worth. It has to die, and the blood has to be shed to cleanse you from your sins. This is how the Torah, this is how sacrifices were set up. Something has to die because of sin. Now, thank goodness, you and I don't have to die when we sin. Can you imagine that? God could say, well, you messed up. The penalty for that is separation from me in the sense of you're going to die. You have to die. Thankfully, he doesn't do that. He provides a substitute. The Torah, listen to this. The Torah gives us the concept of substitutionary death and atonement. Substitutionary death, that is scriptural, that is Torah, and that is Judaism. It's biblical Judaism. Substitutionary death to atone for our sins, according to Leviticus 17:11, according to Torah. Okay, so what about Nidah? When you give birth to a baby, there is blood. There's always blood. The only blood that could come near the sanctuary was the blood of the sacrifices. So when you have your menstrual cycle, or when you give birth a woman, there's blood. That blood is not the same blood as the blood of the sacrifice. You can't mix that. It has to be separate. The whole idea, and the rabbis talk about this in commentaries, about how the blood is supposed to be separate from the blood of the sanctification, or the blood of the atonement, blood of the sacrifices. The contact with blood apart from sacrifices makes a person unclean, apart from sacrifices. Just like touching a corpse can make you unclean, according to Torah. So in the case of a woman, because of the flow of blood, she was unclean for a period of time. That's the idea. Now, God is giving us a picture in this Torah portion by using this example of woman and birth and menstruating to talk to us about clean and unclean, about how the blood really is to be regarded as holy. Because you can't mix the blood, because she can't be around the blood of the sacrifices, that blood, the blood of the sacrifices, the blood of the atonement for your and I's sins, is holy. That's why God places such a value on blood. Okay, there's a value on life itself. This is why God didn't allow King David to build the temple. Remember that? When David got it all together, he wanted to build it. He had a heart to build it for God. Remember, he sat there in his palace and he said, I'm sitting here in my palace and the Lord doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a place for himself. Well, you know what God said? In essence, I'm paraphrasing, I love your heart, but you can't do it. And why couldn't David do it? Because he shed blood. He was a man of war. Okay? So there's this sanctity. There's this holiness for life and for blood because of the importance placed on the atonement for our souls. So what happened? His son Solomon had to build the temple. He couldn't do it. Blood is precious. Blood is tied to the atonement of our sins. And because we sin, we're unclean. And the problem is we don't have a way to cleanse ourselves. We don't have a way to get rid of that uncleanliness. The Torah is setting up in many ways, including in Tazriah, this issue of sin and uncleanliness. It's forefront in Leviticus, and it's forefront in the Torah. But the Bible gives us a remedy. The Bible speaks about how we can become clean again. And what do you think it has to do with? The shedding of blood. Remember, the substitutionary atonement in the Torah, it's the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The idea of substitutionary atonement with blood is still in effect today. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, 7. This verse speaks about Yeshua the Messiah. In him, in Yeshua, we have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We don't like talking about things like blood because it's gross. We don't like talking about things like sin in the body because it's unpleasant. But you know what? It's riddled throughout the Bible. And if we're going to understand the heart of God, we have to understand what his word says. And he talks about blood, and he talks about sin, and there's concepts to learn. And what it's saying here, well, what it says in the Torah is substitutionary blood had to be shed for your sins back then. And what it's saying here, substitutionary blood was shed for your and my sins, and it's through Yeshua. We have redemption through his blood. We're talking here about Yeshua dying for our sins, much like that sacrifice had to die. Yeshua's shed blood cleanses us from our sins. It's the same blood spoken about in Leviticus 17:11. It's the blood that atones. It's the blood that cleanses. It's the blood that makes us clean again. That closes the gap, that makes us ritually clean again when we were ritually unclean. What better example do we have in the Bible about being unclean than someone with, not that, than someone with leprosy, okay? Have you ever seen any pictures on leprosy, a movie about leprosy? It is really bad. Leprosy was a disease, and it still goes on today in remote places in the world, but back in biblical times, it was a real problem. And what happens when you're a leper? You have to separate yourself. You cannot be around. You're completely unclean. You cannot be around other people because what happens, leprosy is contagious. You can catch leprosy and you can die. It's a deadly, deadly disease. Now the Bible, the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, the New Covenant, talks about lepers and leprosy. And it talks about it in the context of clean and unclean. Turn with me to Matthew 8. Verses 1 through 3. This is from the Gospels. And this is talking about Yeshua. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Yeshua stretched out his hand, and what did he do? He touched him. Now let's stop right there. You weren't supposed to touch a leper. If you touched a leper, you contracted leprosy. The whole idea with Nidah, the whole idea with leprosy, you had to be completely separated. You were unclean. And we see that only, and we know that only God can cleanse again. So this is a picture of Yeshua's divine presence here, okay? Because Yeshua was not just a man. If he was, he would be in a lot of trouble because he would have contracted leprosy. But he says, if you want, you can make me clean. In essence, God, you can cleanse me if you want. Verse 3, and Yeshua stretched out his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You and I are unclean. You and I have a spiritual form of leprosy, and it's really bad. This leprosy has separated you and I spiritually from God. It separated people for thousands of years. If you want to understand separation, walk out the door, turn on the television, get on the internet, you will see extreme cases, spiritually speaking, of leprosy. I can't turn on the news, I can't turn on the internet without seeing the separation of man and God. And if you can't see it, you really are blind. I mean, It is so there. And the problem is we in the world, the world I'm talking about, thinks that they're not unclean, thinks that they have access to God. And the opposite is true. We're further and further and further unclean and away from God. There is a spiritual leprosy that is all over the world. And you and I are also separated because of our sin. But Yeshua comes to us and he says, I'm willing to make you clean. But you have to remember, the leper, what does he say? If you will, you can make me clean. He came to Yeshua. He chose. He said, I want to be clean. We've got to come to Yeshua. We've got to say, I'm tired of being unclean. I'm tired of being separated. I'm tired of being outside the camp. I want to have fellowship with God. I want to be back in that perfect relationship where there is no pain, where there is no problems. And that's going to happen in the future. But this idea of leprosy, we have a spiritual leprosy, and the cure for it is the hand of Yeshua reaching out to you and I. The cure for our spiritual leprosy today is to understand that the one that's reaching out his hand is the one who shed his blood. Leviticus 17:11, he fulfills the Torah's requirements of substitutionary death and shedding of blood. He fulfills it. No one else does it. And he is the one that can reach out to us and cleanse us and bring us back and put us into that right relationship with God, because his blood makes atonement for us. And because of that, you and I are unclean. So the only question that we have today, if we have this presented to us, we know our situation, we know we're separated from God. The only question posed to us is that which was posed to the leper. Are we willing to reach out our hand and take the hand of Yeshua and say, I'm tired of being separated. I'm tired of being outside. I'm tired of being unclean, and I want to be brought into the presence of God. I want to be cleansed of my sins, because someone has come to do it. He's cleansed us. It's already done. All you got to do is reach out and take his hand. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome? That's what is required. So you know what? Today, whether you've been a believer for 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, one day, or whether you're not a believer, there's an opportunity to come and be cleansed and take the hand of Yeshua. Today is the day. Today is the day of renewal. Today is the day where we can say, Lord, I'm willing, cleanse me. You may have situations going on in your life that are pretty unclean. You may have some spiritual leprosy that you contracted. I know a lot of times I do, and I need to go to the altar, and I need to go to the Lord and ask him continually, forgive me, cleanse me. I'm reaching out my hand to you. You got to keep going back to the well, so to speak. It's not a one and done thing. You've got to say, Lord, I messed up again. Lord, I screwed up again. I've separated myself from you. Connect me back to you. Cleanse me, Lord God. I am willing. I am willing for you to cleanse me, and I'm willing for that fellowship with you. Let's go to him in prayer. God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you've given us your concepts, Lord, your word. Every word of your Bible is good and true, and it's the path of life. We have to talk about uncomfortable concepts to get to the atonement. We're doing ourselves a disservice by not talking about sin, by not talking about the blood, by not talking about separation. Because only when we understand our separation, as the Torah teaches, do we understand how to be cleansed from it. And Lord, we are willing today. We're saying we're willing. Come, Yeshua, and cleanse us. Maybe you have been unclean for a long time, holding on to those burdens and sins that have separated you from God. Today is a day to just release them to the Lord and ask him to cleanse you. So we're going to take some time right now. If you want to come up and be anointed with oil, be prayed over, you can. If you want to sit in your seat and just receive or get quiet with the Lord, do that. But Lord, we ask you right now, speak to us. Right now, Lord God, as reach out your hand to us, because, Lord, we are spiritually leprous, Lord, and we need that cleansing from you. Hear us, Lord God, and draw us near to you once again. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen.